This is an invitation to spend 15 minutes with the Bible. This is program number 16 of this series. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher for the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is between McMinnville and Biola, just across from Mount Zion Road, and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I want to talk to you for the next few weeks about Bible storms and what we can learn from storms. As I'm doing this, I'm thinking of that storm that Dorian that came near the 1st of November, a Category 5 hurricane. And it was so strong, I guess if there was a larger category, they could have called it a 6 or maybe even a 7. But 5 is as high as they go. It's the strongest storm on record to come across the Bahamas, and the devastation that it wrought there is just heartbreaking. And then it threatened our coastlines, and of course we're all worried about our friends and family that live over there. What a powerful display of God's power. And when we think that God rules in the midst of storms, and then see a storm like that, well, there's nothing man can do about a storm such as that. And I know that these things all operate according to the laws of nature. But those laws of nature are God's laws. And we read in the Bible that he rideth upon the wings of the clouds. Let me tell you a little bit about some of the storms we read about in the Bible. And really, one of the reasons that we love the Bible so much is because it is so beautiful in the things that it teaches us, and both in the what it says and in the way that it says. And since storms are such a powerful thing that we see, what we think then of God when we think of storms, you know, we sing that song, How Great Thou Art, and part of that song, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the earth displayed. There was a play written about William Tell, and one of the things that it says in that play, this was written by James Sheridan Knowles, and one of the things William Tell says in that play is how he loved the very storms of Switzerland. He said, I've sat in my boat at night when midway o'er the lake the stars went out, and down the mountain gorge the wind came roaring. I have sat and eyed the thunder breaking from his clouds and smiled to see him shake his lightnings over my head and think I had no master save his own. Have you ever thought about that in the midst of a storm? That God is the master of the storm? There's some storm stories in the Bible. Among those that we'll be talking about is that storm that broke over the whole world when it, as far as we know, it hadn't even rained on the earth, but a mist came and covered the ground. And that sounds so gentle, but because of man's sin, God wreaked his wrath on this world in that great flood of Noah's day. And the fountains of the deep were opened up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights on this earth until the whole earth over the tops of the mountains was covered with water. What a storm that must have been. And then we read about other storms in the Bible, like the storm with Jonah, when Jonah tried to flee from God and the storm came up at the sea. We can't run from the presence of God, can we? We come to the New Testament and we read about storms like the time that Jesus was asleep in the boat and the disciples awoke him during a storm that was frightening them. And Jesus said those words, peace be still. And when the sea calmed, they said, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obeyed his voice? And there's another instance in the New Testament about a storm on the Sea of Galilee when Jesus wasn't in the boat. He had stayed behind in the mountains to pray. And during the midst of that storm, where they were afraid they might lose their boat, they looked out and saw Jesus walking to them on the water. Think of that. Jesus calmly walking forth in the midst of a storm, doing that which for man was impossible. That's when Peter tried to walk on the water himself, and did, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. When he turned and saw the waves, he began to sink and cried, "Lord Jesus, save me." And Jesus pulled him into the boat, and it was followed by a great calm. And Jesus rebuked them for their lack of faith on that occasion. As another storm we read about in the book of Acts, when Paul was making his journey to Rome, he was on a ship as a prisoner, and there arose a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon, and the ship was caught and could not bear up under the wind, being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, and neither sun nor stars appeared in many days, and no small tempest lay upon us. And it says, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Well, God assured them they would be saved if they'd stay in the ship. And I hope on a future program to look at that storm into more detail and see what happened there and what lessons we can learn from that. The book of Job has some storms in it. In fact, in the very first chapter, we read about two incidences associated with storms. In Job chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, "There came a fire of God fallen from heaven and burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them." When we think about a fire coming from heaven, I guess it could have been a blaze that came down and burned them up. But very likely the fire from heaven would be lightning that struck and killed his sheep and the servants, the shepherds that were watching over them. And as difficult as that was, it must have paled into insignificance as we read a little further down in verse 19, that there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house where Job's sons and daughters were eating. And it fell upon the young men, and they were dead. Well, that great wind and that lightning in Job. But that's not the only storm we read about in the book of Job. Job's three friends came to him, supposedly to comfort him. Job said, "Miserable comforters are you all." Rather than offering comfort to Job, they tried to explain Job's circumstance, and they did not know what the problem was with why all these terrible things had happened to Job. But they assumed, according to their thinking, that Job must have sinned, and they accused Job of hiding some grievous wrong. One after another, those three friends accused Job, and Job maintained his innocence before them. And in so doing, Job questioned God. Now, he didn't question God foolishly, but Job wanted to know why this had happened. In fact, Job comes to where he is almost demanding of God and answers to why these things happened to me. When Job had finished his speaking, we read of a new character that shows up in this book, Elihu. Elihu goes over some of the things the three friends had gone over, but then Elihu points Job to God. Beginning in Job chapter 34, Elihu speaks, and he speaks for several chapters. It's a long speech. And as we get on into the speech, we begin to see that it looks like Elihu is watching an approaching storm. He says in Job 36, in verse 25, "Every man may see it. Man may behold it afar off. Behold, God is great, and we know him not. Neither can the number of his years be searched out. For he maketh small the drops of water. They pour down rain according to the vapor thereof, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly. Also, can any understand the spreading of the clouds or the noise of his tabernacle?" When we read about this noise and this light here with the rain dropping down, you can think of this in terms of a storm. In Job 36:32. It says, "With clouds he covereth the light and commandeth that it not shine by the cloud that cometh between." And we've seen the skies darken in the midday due to a storm. In Job 37 and verse 3, "He directeth it under the whole heaven and his lightning into the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth." Hear the thunder? Here's what he says. He thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. In Job 37, verse 11, also by watering, he watereth the thick cloud. He scattereth the bright cloud, and it is turned around by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world and the earth. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still, and consider the wondrous works of God. And then in verse 23 of Job 37, touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Men do therefore fear him and respect not any that are wise of heart. And then we come to Job 38, where the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Job answered, the Lord answered Job with questions, which Job could not answer. And Job was humbled before the Lord, and he realized it is really not in man's place to stand in question of God. And it says that Job repented and made sacrifice, and he made sacrifice for his friends. And there's much more that we could talk about in the book of Job, and the troubling things that he had to deal with. But I just wanted to focus on that storm and so show how God's power is exhibited in that storm. We read about a storm in the days of Elijah. In 1 Kings 17:1, Elijah came forth and said, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And with that, the storms ceased. The rain quit falling, and the land went into a drought. And this resulted in a contest between Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And during that, fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice and the altar that Elijah had made. Though God, there was nothing for the prophets of Baal. And it showed that the Lord, he is God, and he's the one to serve. After that, Elijah said in chapter 18, I want to turn to that. This is 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 41. Elijah said to Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain." And Ahab went to eat and to drink, and Elijah went to him to the top of Carmel, and he said, cast himself down to the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Get up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." He said, "Go again seven times." And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud over the sea like a man's hand." And he said, "Go up and say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Isn't that interesting? Elijah said, "It will not rain except according to my word." And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. But then when he prayed to God, the rains came, beginning with a cloud just the size of a man's hand. And yet the fury broke forth, where Ahab and Elijah both had to flee to get to the city for the torrent of rain that had come. Well, that's some of the storms in the Bible. In another future program, I want to look at some of the storms as they are described in the book of Psalms. But we'll have to let that wait to another time. This has been 15 Minutes with the Bible. I am Bill Boyd. You may email or text me at wmhboyd@aol.com. You can text me at that address, wmhboyd@aol.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.